In Acts 12, verse 11, it says, "And when Peter was come to himself, Peter said, Now I know of a surety or a certainty that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." This morning I want to talk from the subject, nothing and no one can hinder you but you. Nothing and no one can hinder you but you. In our text, we find that the much early success of this thing called the church, that early burst out, those thousands of people that had joined, we find that now the church is under siege and under persecution. The apostle James, the brother of John, a member of the inner circle of Jesus, had been murdered on the orders of King Herod. Herod, you see, was a politician and Edomite, not even a full-blooded Jew. But he was appointed king by the evil and debased Roman emperor named Caligula. Herod played the part of an observant Jew. Will you stay with me for a minute? But he wanted to be accepted and popular. But in his heart, he was still a pagan. Herod hated Christians as much as the religious Jews did. And he was determined to wipe them out. When he saw that the killing of James pleased the Jews, he sent out and had Peter, jailbird Peter, arrested. Peter, can I talk about him for a minute? On the day of Pentecost, it was Peter, James, and John who went out, and Peter taught or preached the first sermon of the church age. Then Peter went to the temple, he and John, and a man was sitting there begging. And Peter, the man asked for alms, just, "I need a little handout, need a little help." Peter said, "Silver and gold hath we none, but such as we have give I unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man rose up, who had been crippled his life, and he walked. And the Bible tells us that when the Pharisees and people saw him, they recognized him as the man who sat by the gate. "Today is Sabbath. What happened to you?" And he said, "I don't know, but the man told me to get up. I got up." Yeah. "What man?" "I don't know who he was." Later he tells him it's Jesus. And then we find that Peter is arrested. And they tell Peter not to preach in the name of Jesus. And Peter said, "Whether it's good or not, I don't know. God said, and as what God said to me, that's what we're going to do." And the Bible says they let them go. No sooner had they gone out, Peter got out preaching and messing in the business again. And Peter's arrested again. And this time they beat Peter. before they let him go. Now he's arrested the third. Better be glad he wasn't in California. They have a three-strike rule. Peter is now arrested again, and King Herod has seen that it pleased the Jews when James died. So now, guess what? The feast days are here. And don't get confused when it said Easter in there. The Bible does not refer to Easter as Resurrection Sunday. That is not what it's talking about. It's talking about a pagan holiday. If you don't believe me, look up in verse 3. It says, and because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter. Then were the days of unleavened bread. The days of unleavened bread comes after Easter or after Resurrection Sunday. It begins at sundown on Resurrection Sunday and runs for the next few days, next 8 days. That is, so the sequence here is out. So it's not talking about, but when he saw, he is going to hold them over until after the days of celebration. And after the days of celebration, he is going to have the spectacle of all spectacles. He is going to take Peter out, give him a fair trial, and then hang him. Judge Roy Bean. Take him out, give him a fair trial, then hang him. Peter now is in jail. This is the night before the execution. Instead of worrying about his fate, did you notice in the scripture, nothing is said about Peter worrying. We encounter Peter easily. This is your last night, you sleep early. Not only is he asleep, but he is asleep between two Roman soldiers. You see, the king sent 16 soldiers. Four quartarians, four in each group, and they watched Peter for 6 hours at a time. Two of them, it was their responsibility to lay down next to Peter. Now, it was not the bed, they laid on the floor, and they were each chained to Peter. Peter ain't getting out. Nobody's coming to steal him from them. Because the penalty for him not being there when they looked for him was death of those who were watching. Then the Bible tells us something. It says there were two soldiers next to him. There were two more soldiers outside the door guarding the door. There were four doorkeepers who watched in other parts of the jail. There were three doors to get out to the outside and one gate. Even in this inner seclusion, Peter was sleeping. How many of us would be sleeping? We would be up trying to figure out, is anybody coming to get me, Lord? We would be up talking to God. But Peter knew God. He didn't know what he was going to do, but he knew God. And Peter went to sleep. Let us pick up at our scriptural text. It says, and behold, an angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote or touched Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said unto him, since you got the use of your hand, gird yourself, put on your clothes, and then put on your shoes. And so he did. And he saith unto him, cast thy garment, that is our outer garment, about thee, and follow me. There were still two soldiers with chains around them, laying on the floor, believing Peter is next to them. And the angel raised him up and said, follow me. I heard another man tell some folk to follow me. And Peter, and he went out and followed him and knew not that it was true which was being done by the angels, but thought he had, I'm dreaming. It's a good dream. I ain't got to worry about being executed tomorrow. It's a good dream. I'm enjoying this. I want to remember this. And verse 10 says, and when they were past the first, where there were guards, and the second ward, where there were guards, they came unto an iron gate. Wonder why it was placed. It could have just said a gate. But this said an iron gate. Not a fence. It wasn't a picket fence. It was an iron gate that leadeth into the city, which, I must be reading something wrong here. It said, y'all excuse me, because the copy I have here says, which opened to them of his own. Are we talking about an iron gate here? Which opened to them of his own accord. And Peter and the angel strolled out of the open gate and passed on through one street. They got one street away from the jail. And immediately, the angel disappeared. And when Peter was come to himself, wasn't there another guy who came to himself? He said, now I know of a surety that the Lord hath sent his angel and hath delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. The Bible says, and when he had considered the thing, I'll imagine he took long to consider. I just can't imagine it. He came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. Mark, the writer of the second gospel. His name was actually John Mark. Where many were gathered together, doing what? And as Peter knocked on the gate, a young lady came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she didn't open the gate. The Bible says she ran in and told everybody in the prayer meeting that Peter was at the gate. Now, don't y'all get on Rhoda for not opening the gate. She is as shocked as they will later prove to be. She ran and told them, Peter is at the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. Y'all ever tell anybody about Jesus and they say, thou art mad? When you told them that he walked on water, thou art mad. When you told them that he saved my soul, thou art mad. When you tell them that all of the good things that are happening to me, how I got through that danger, seen and unseen, it was Jesus. Thou art mad. But she kept telling them, no, it's Peter at the gate. Now, I can't explain why she didn't go back after she was challenged and bring Peter in from the gate. Then said they, it's not Peter. Peter must be dead. It's his angel. His angel. Now, think about that. Angels can go in and out, but his angel is standing at the gate. Yo, I'm Peter's. Hey, what y'all doing in there? And they said unto her, oh, I'm sorry. But Peter continued. And when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. Or I'd say, Peter calls them and he says to them, shh. See, he's an escaped convict now. He doesn't know whether or not the jailers have awakened and found that he's gone. He doesn't know whether the gate closed itself. He doesn't know whether the guards that were standing around have noticed that something was changed and they went to check on their prisoner. So rather than, shh, 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 so the neighbors don't hear anything. Look, here's what happened. Y'all go and tell James, the brother of Jesus, who was the head of the Jerusalem church, what has gone on. And Peter did, as we would say, he booked. Peter booked. And went to another place. But look at what happened with those poor men. 18 and 19, and we're done with this. Now, as soon as it was day, there was no small stir. That means there was a great one. Among the soldiers, what was become of Peter? And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers, those are the guards, and commanded that they should be put to death. And Peter went down from Judea to Caesarea, and there he abode. What is strange and what is shocking, they were praying for Peter. And God delivered Peter. And they left him outside not believing their prayers were answered. We must recognize our answered prayers. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, you must recognize your answered prayers. Now, I'm a curious man, and I wonder, what were the prayer requests of the church? Did they pray that Peter would not deny Jesus again? He had, you know. Did they pray that Peter's life would be spared? Did they pray that Peter would be released? I believe they prayed all three. And yet when he showed up, they were not expecting that. They did not believe that Peter was released on the basis of their prayers and the will of God. I'm going to move on. But one writer wrote, quote, they were willing to believe that Peter's angel had appeared after his death, but they were not willing to believe that God's angel had delivered him from death, end quote. I submit this night, the only door that failed to open for Peter was the door to the church. Let me say that again. I submit that the only door that failed to open for Peter was the door to the church. Now, what does this story have to say to us? First, the sinner is always apprehended by the devil, and like Peter, he is always cast into prison. It may not be York Street, which is closed. It may not be any jail of that sort, but when you are apprehended by the devil, you are in fact in jail, wherever you are. Then the sinner, he is asleep to the spiritual things and is resting between that which keeps him bound. Furthermore, with the sinner, there is an appointed time to die. To the old man. He, the sinner, cannot of his own escape. He needs divine light and deliverance. All the things the angel did. Instantaneous salvation or deliverance is available. The sinner must then put on the armor of God and follow his deliverer. He must go through the gates which kept him captive. And he must come to himself and understand what God has done for him. And then finally, he must leave the vicinity of the prison house and go out and tell everybody about the goodness of God. My brothers and sisters, I came to tell you that Peter's miraculous disappearance and deliverance is a type of rapture of the church. God's servant doing God's will is indestructible until his work is done. You see, nothing and no one can hinder you but you. Turn to the neighbor. Neighbor, nothing and no one can hinder you but you. Some of the things that perplex us in our Christian walk are simply the answers to our prayers. Some of the things that perplex us in our Christian walk are simply the answers to our prayers. We pray for patience, and God sends tribulation. And the Bible says tribulation produces patience. We pray for unselfishness, and God gives us opportunities to sacrifice and bear the burdens of others. But Lord, that's not what I had in mind. This burden is too heavy for me to bear. We pray for strength and humility. And when we are tested, we ask God to remove our testing, forgetting what Paul wrote, "For when I am weak, then am I strong?" We pray to be more like Jesus. And God severs some of our ties to people and things we are familiar with. And we say, "This burden is too hard for us to bear." We pray for love. And when unkind, unflattering things are said to us or about us, we fail to understand that love suffereth long and is kind. 19th century Baptist pastor Dr. A.C. Dixon, D-I-X-O-N, speaking on the theme of prayer, said, and I quote, "When we rely upon education, we get what education can do. Social programs, we get what social programs can do. Politics, we get what politicians can do." Now, I don't undervalue these things in their proper place. But when we rely on prayer, we get what God can do. End quote. The question becomes, does prayer work? Does prayer really work? I'm reminded that Moses prayed at the Red Sea, and Israel was delivered from Pharaoh's army. Do I have a witness? Joshua prayed that the sun would stand still, and it did, and he won the victory. Samson prayed for another chance, and God gave him the strength he needed to destroy his enemy. Hannah prayed for a son, and God gave her a baby whom she named Samuel, who became a great prophet in Israel. Elisha prayed that his servant's eyes would be open. And they were, and he was able to see over in the spirit realm. David prayed for a clean heart and a right spirit. And God cleaned his heart. Daniel prayed for the nation of Israel. And God sent the angel Gabriel to tell him his prayer was heard in heaven. Zacharias the priest prayed for a son. And God sent him John the baptizer. The Bible says that the Roman soldier Cornelius prayed for someone to preach the gospel. And God sent Peter to Cornelius' house. Paul and Silas prayed and the jailhouse rocked. I and others among you prayed and God opened Solid Rock Community Baptist Church. You prayed and friends and family members, enemies and strangers were saved, sanctified, sealed, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Do I have a witness? I came to tell you, do not fear the enemy, nor the conditions around you. For God knows your circumstances, and he knows where and when to dispatch his angel, the one of deliverance. No prison can hold those whom God determines to be free. For nothing and no one can hinder you but you. We must spread the good news of our miraculous and undeserved deliverance. Hang with me now. Without our testimony, the unsaved would never believe that God is able to do what he says he can do. Remember, when God moves on behalf of his children, no obstacle is too great. Nothing and no one can hinder you but you. Nothing and no one can hinder you but you. Hinder you always from attending church. It's you. Nothing can hinder you from giving those who are wrong, who have wronged you. Let me say that again. No one and nothing can hinder you from forgiving those who have wronged you. Nothing and no one can hinder you from seeking the salvation of family and friends. Do I have a witness? Nothing and no one can hinder you from reading and studying the Word of God. Nothing and no one can hinder you from having or giving a loving heart, a hand to somebody. Nothing and no one can hinder you from being the servant that God created you to be. Nothing and no one can hinder you from living victorious. I close now. I came to tell you, do not fear the enemy nor the conditions around you, for God knows your circumstances. He knows where, he knows when to dispatch his angel of deliverance. As I said, no prison can hold those whom God has set free. For nothing, no one can hinder you but you. Do I have a witness? Do I have a witness? We must tell a dying world about a manger a ministry, healings, dead raised, the elements obedient, a cross on Calvary, an empty tomb. Somebody says it's there to prove my Savior lives. A resurrection early one Sunday morning. Do I have a witness? And then an exaltation to a throne in glory. Do I have a witness? Intercessions on behalf of the saints by the will of God. Do I have a witness? Yeah. Yeah. And then lastly, his imminent return. Soon and very soon, he's coming back for me. I'm so glad that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. Everlasting life. Wait a minute. You mean I'm going to have to die that I might live? Seeds die in the ground to produce flowers. So they die that they might live. Do I have a witness? Everlasting life. I'm 76. But I heard a writer says, when we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shiny as a sun, we'll have no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Now let me say this. You're going to spend everlasting life somewhere. Two choices. Only two. One decision. One time. In one place. And you can have door number one. I guess the question becomes, deal or no deal? Now here's a good thing. To not take door number one, you already got door number two. Hell, place of torment, 24/7 for everlasting life. How do you know that, preacher? I'm going to say this and I'm going to sit down. In the 15th chapter of Luke, there's a story of a rich man. Yeah, true story. Named Dives. And in that chapter, Dives, the Bible said, fared sumptuously. That means he ate good every day. While a beggar named Lazarus sat on the outside of the gate, sores all over his body, begging crumbs from the rich man's table. And nobody would give him any. And the Bible says that the rich man's dogs were the only ones that show him mercy, for they came and licked his wounds. The Bible says that Lazarus died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And then it says the rich man also died and in hell he opened his eyes. and looking over into paradise, he called on the name of Abraham. Whoa, Father Abraham, would you send the beggar Lazarus over to me here and have him dip his finger in water that I might drink? What fingers are you talking about? Those nasty, sore-covered, dog-licked fingers that he has. Can he come over here and dip it into the bucket of water that's just outside of my reach and let a drop come onto my tongue? Abraham said, son, you had your good days in your life, and Lazarus has bad ones, but now he is comforted and you are tormented. Besides all that, those that are over there with you in hell cannot come over here to paradise, and those who are in paradise cannot go over and relieve your pain. Y'all sit down. Here's what that tells me. And I'm going to shut up. There is no escape from hell. Once there, you are there throughout all eternity. The bad thing is that divees may be asking God this morning to send somebody who just passed away to come and dip their finger. Because, see, he couldn't bring the water from paradise. Where's water in hell? Right outside of your reach. That says to the drug addicts, to the crack users, there's a crack house in hell, but it's just outside of your reach. There's a massage parlor, but it's just outside of your reach. Oh, it's there for you to see. That's where you spent your money. That's where you spent your time. It's familiar in hell. Do y'all hear me? You understand what I'm saying? Whatever binds you and keeps you from serving God, whatever your vice, it's in hell. Only you can't get to it. And there is nothing more torturous than seeing what you want right outside of your enclosure and you can't touch it. Don't you know there ain't nothing but screaming and hollering in hell? Hell is not a place of party. Hell is a place of torment. 24/7, people are hollering. And they're blaming some of us. Why? Because we did not tell them the whole story. We didn't want to make them mad. We have friends. We have family. We have people that we cared about who are in hell right now. And they're throwing an accusation up, saying, if he had told me, Lord, I wouldn't be here. Do you want that on your record? What's keeping you from witnessing to the next person you know is unsaved? Nothing and no one can hinder you but you. Time to think. You got somebody in your house, unsaved. Nothing and no one can hinder you but you. You have people on your job. Nothing and no one can hinder you but you. Nothing. It's all up to you to be all that God called you, created you to be. He told us to love one another.
greater love hath no man that we than this, that we love one another. He told us to give, and it shall be given, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. He told us to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. He told us to study, to show thyself approved before God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He told us that he had come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. He told us not to give place to the devil. He told us, and because he told us, nothing and no one, because see, it was a command. And if he commanded us to do it, it's available. We have the power to do it. But that's a little too hard. Nothing's too hard. There is nothing that I cannot do. Is that not what he said? Brev just said. He said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Question is this morning, what are you going to do with this knowledge? What are you going to do with what you now know? Don't blame it on your boss. Don't blame it on the folk in the house. Don't blame it on the neighbor down the street. Don't blame it on the cop on the block. Don't blame it on Donald Trump. Don't blame it on anybody but you. You didn't accomplish. And Lord knows you don't want to stand before God and have God ask you that question. I sent 10 people to you for you to tell them, and you didn't. Why? I didn't know exactly what to say, God. You sat in church every week, and they told the same story. You know what to do. Lastly, I said that 10 minutes ago. If there was an entrance test to get to heaven, would you pass? Do you know enough about the Bible to pass a simple entrance test to heaven? And if you don't, then why aren't you at Bible study every Tuesday night? Why aren't you at Sunday school? Why don't you set aside time every day to study? I know y'all say I'm preaching at you. I don't want any should perish. Suppose the test is, can you name the 12 apostles? Probably 99% of us would have to say no. We can't. We'd have Goofy or somebody in there. But you can name 12 superheroes. And I submit to you, the apostles were the original superheroes. Could you do it? If it said, name the books of the New Testament in order, could you do it? And if the answer is no, examine yourself. Come to Bible study. Come and learn. Let it be blamed on me for not teaching, and not you for not being there. Father, we thank you. We bless and praise your name for all that you've done. We thank you for the clarity of your word. We thank you that now, God, we know and we are without excuse. We know that no one and nothing can hinder us but us. So, Lord, we thank you for making it plain. We must go back and examine ourselves and recommit. So I pray in agreement with all those here whose heart have been changed or affected by this, that it's not just something they hear here, go outside and forget about it. I pray that, Lord God, it works upon them. I pray right now, Lord God, that they commit themselves to learning, to studying your word, not to show anybody, but to give an account. When someone should ask, well, where is that in the Bible? Don't say, I got to call pastor. We pray, Lord God, that because they have learned it, that you will bring it up to their remembrance when it is needed. Father, we pray for the salvation of those that may be here who are unsaved. We pray right now, Lord God, for any who would like to join this church. Let them make the commitment. Speak to their hearts right now. The saved, speak to their hearts. The pseudo-saved, almost the wannabes, speak to their hearts right now. And those, Lord God, who have backslidden, speak to their hearts right now. Now, Lord God, we just thank you. We bless and praise your name. I pray that all that I said was pleasing in your sight. Forgive me for my errors. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.